Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at a coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.
Legend has it, underneath the NJM insurance offices lies a room of rejected mascot memorabilia. Is it real? No one knows. But we do know NJM is proud to put policyholders first. No jingles or mascots, just great insurance. NJM.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the Three Questions. I'm your host, Andy Richter. And this week, I am talking to the hilarious Caitlin Riley. We really had a lot of fun. Caitlin is an actress and comedian, and if you're on TikTok or Instagram, you have seen her characters before. You cannot avoid her. You can currently hear Caitlin as the voice of Fabian in the Peacock show In the Know with Zach Woods, or see her in the upcoming film Little Death. Here is my conversation with Caitlin Riley. All right, let's make a podcast.
Let's make a podcast.
Hello, everyone. My name's Andy Richter. I'm the host of a podcast called The Three Questions, which it'd be really weird if you didn't know that because you're listening to it. And people don't just stumble onto podcasts.
That's true.
Caitlin, they don't.
That's true. You have an incredible podcast voice, by the way.
Thank you.
Like, you really dropped in.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Well, I do have the ability to show some pipes, but my wife just heard her own voice recorded and.
For the first time.
No. Just like, happened to hear.
Your wife lives underground.
She sent a voice memo to somebody.
Oh,
and
right.
Then happened to hear, push play on it.
Yeah.
And then called me and apologized for her voice.
Oh, no.
And I was like, look, honey. And I was interested, like, how do you think you sound? And she was like, nah. And I was, that's because Conan will make fun of my voice and go like this. And that is how I hear myself when I hear myself.
You have a beautiful voice. Don't let Conan bully you.
I listen.
Take over the company.
It pays the bills. No, it's just thank you. I can't talk like that. But then when I'm lazy and I just turn into Glenda Swanson. That's my mother.
I get that. What a great mom name. That's a great mom
Glenda
name.
Glenda Swanson.
Glenda Swanson.
She was the last one. She was supposed to be a boy, so she would have been Glenn Jr.
Oh.
But because she turned out to
be and a, she's the a youngest
girl.
Of,
she's the youngest.
Of how many kids?
Of four.
Oh, okay.
Of four. And the only survivor. They're all dead.
Oh.
She's 80. She's 84.
So they died naturally. Or maybe not. And maybe there's trauma.
Oh, they all were murdered.
Oh, okay.
But I mean, late in life.
Sure.
Yeah, sure. Which is like, that's barely murder by the time
it's
someone.
It's barely murder, but doesn't it suck when it happens?
It does.
Like 95-year-old slain.
Yeah.
Like, it's the worst.
If you'd just been patient, you could have saved yourself the trouble.
You got lazy.
Well, Caitlin, you are very funny, and you have so many fans here. And I, embarrassingly, I've seen some of your videos because you're known for videos.
Yeah,
you're known for sort of like
in my chiropractor business.
Yeah, you're under. Yeah, you're like
no
sort
one
of
talks about
black
that.
Black market chiropractor business.
Yeah.
Oh, we were just talking about the chiropractor because I have it's one of my favorite things, and it's happened before. I have a rib out.
Oh, I've had that before.
Yeah,
You
can actually feel it in the front of my chest.
I had it right here under. I have an incredible chiropractor.
I have a good chiropractor. Oh, I'm going there today to get my rib shoved back in.
Yikes.
But it's been bothering me all week. It's been
who's your chiropractor?
Ryan Chapman in Burbank.
Mm, okay.
Yeah, I don't know what the name.
I don't trust anyone in Burbank.
Why not?
over the hill in the valley?
Yeah, Walt Disney. Don't trust Walt Disney. I mean, he's dead.
Well, but... no, I don't.
Don't trust Warner Brothers.
No.
Not any of them?
No.
Oh, all right. Well, so you've been, you know, you have so many, like your Instagram really is, it can be a gigantic time suck. Because there's so much funny, so much great stuff on there. And it's really a lot of fun to look at it. And I always wonder, funny first person kind of video, you know, like the confessional kind of videos. I always wonder, when you found Instagram, were the people in your life greatly relieved that the pressure was off them to paying attention to you?
Well... Yes, but also it hasn't changed much.
Oh, really?
If anything, it's fueled the monster.
Yeah.
Where it's like, I'm famous on Instagram. You know what I mean?
Yes, yes. No, but every time there's somebody funny that does videos like this, yeah. I just think like, oh my God, your poor parents.
I get the zippies out.
Your poor parents.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah, like just like, oh, I can just hear you at, you know, 9 years old, just them... Oh, exhausted at the table and you babbling in the background.
Oh, yeah. No, I would put on full shows. My parents would be in bed trying to watch Dateline. And they had a four-post bed.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was almost like a framed stage
sure,
in
course.
Front of the television.
Yeah, yeah.
And I would put on entire showcases.
Yeah, yeah.
About like 11 p.m. For some reason, I didn't have a bedtime.
Yeah, yeah.
They just were like, we can't put her to sleep.
Right, right.
She won't do it.
Yeah. It's just, are you a Scorpio? I just saw a Scorpio.
No.
On your
so
arm.
I'm a Virgo. I have.
But you have a Scorpio tattoo?
Listener, I
you
have.
Are crazy.
Listen to me. I okay. have a. This is a Virgo astrological sign.
I thought that was a Scorpio.
Scorpio is very similar.
It's an M, though, isn't it?
It's an M, and then there's a little thing on it. So, So Scorpio is an M, but Virgo is an M with a little thing on it.
It looks like a fish.
It does look like a fish.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I got my astrological sign tattooed on my wrist after a breakup when I was 24 years old. Cause
nice.
I was like, I'm going to cut my hair. I'm going to wear sleeveless t-shirts, get a tattoo. And then he's going to love me more.
Right, right.
And so I got this tattoo and then I kind of realized I hated it. So last year, like 6 months ago, I started the process of getting it removed.
Uh-huh.
So I went to Laser Away and they have these like tattoo removal packages. And they're like, you just have 12 sessions. You come in, we laser your skin. And then every 6 weeks you come back in and then the tattoo will disappear.
Right.
And it's like $1,500.
Yes.
And so I was like, I'll do that. And I started it, and the reason I stopped is the last time I was there, the girl who was lasering this area of my wrist took my arm and then started shaking it and screaming, like right before she was about to put a laser to my skin. And I turned around and I also started screaming. And then she tilted her head back in hysterical laughter and said, don't worry, bitch. I'm just playing with you. So I never went back.
And have you left money on the table? Did you pay for a package?
I
that
did.
Is still-
so I have to get it back somehow. But what's funny is Laser Away, the Instagram page, recently messaged me. And they're like, we'd love to do a collab. And I
oh my God.
I told them, I was like, actually, I'm a paying customer of yours and something really messed up happened and I would like to be reimbursed. And they never messaged me back. So
sure, let's do a collab and then you can get them. You'll be like, you know, like the 5 o'clock news.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Yeah. You know, kind
hot
of thing.
Hot on the heels.
Right, right.
I'm a journalist, really.
How many times? Because it's
it was
still
twice. But
it looks.
It's speckly. You see, it's kind of speckly. So
okay.
I don't know if I have to start over. I definitely want to remove it.
Right.
Because I'm not the kind of person that has my astrological sign tattooed on my wrist.
Yeah, yeah.
Because then you have to have the conversation of like, what's that? Oh, well, so I'm a Virgo. Oh, okay. And then the person starts leaving.
Right.
Do you know
right.
what I mean?
Or if they have a strong opinion about you being a Virgo, that's another conversation you don't want right. to have, really.
Well, Beyonce's a Virgo.
Okay.
So
if Beyonce saw it,
she would love it.
She might glance for a second as her bodyguards scurried her away from you.
No, they would never do that.
She would stop.
She would stop.
And
she
would bond.
We would bond.
Right, all right.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
I don't think you know Beyonce very
well. All right.
Well.
All right. All right. Sometimes I'm so glad that I escaped the 80s and the 90s without a tattoo.
I know. You were this close away from getting a face tattoo.
I remember, as an audience member,
it would have been
like a good complexion. It just would have been like a really perfect, even toned complexion.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
A real human face. Yeah. But no, I just never trusted my own judgment. It's like you say, I know I would have gotten some, and then a year later, been like, What an idiot.
Yeah,
How dumb I was, you know, to do that.
I do that now with buying clothes or anything, really.
I don't trust
my opinion. I don't trust me with anything.
Yeah.
Ever.
No. And I have children.
Yikes.
Terrible judgment.
Yoinks.
Yeah. No, the other one that I'm always, like, I feel like if I had any spare money to invest, I would invest it in the ear gauge regret industry.
Oh, yeah.
Because there are people walking around with pieces of fucking calamari hanging off their
heads.
And they gotta feel bad about that.
It turns my stomach. Oh. I can't handle it.
Sorry,
when was
gauge
that popular?
Wearers.
What was it, the early 2000s or the mid 2000s where everyone was gauging their ears?
Yeah.
I can't.
And now?
I started smoking weed senior year of high school and I was like, I'm gonna fucking do it. I was really close.
So glad you didn't.
So glad I didn't. Yeah. My God.
My wife was very close to getting a Red Hot Chili Peppers asterisk, a big one on her shoulder.
Oh, wow.
And she's really glad she didn't.
Thank God.
Yeah.
Wow.
She's from Whittier, so.
That makes sense.
Yeah, exactly.
Those out there cities of California.
There's a lot going on. They love Red Hot Chili Peppers.
The farther you are away from the ocean, the weirder it gets. That's my theory.
It's pretty weird by the ocean, too, you know.
Well.
For being from Illinois, it's all pretty weird.
You're from Illinois?
Yeah.
Where in Illinois?
A town called Yorkville, which is straight west of Chicago, about 70 miles.
Oh, wow. Okay. My dad was from Chicago.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And from Chicago proper?
I think so. South side?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know what that means.
But I'm going to Chicago in June.
Cities
often have different sides.
Sure.
So there's a north side. There can be a west side.
Yeah.
And there can be a south side.
He went to St. Carmel High School.
Okay.
I recently told John Mulaney that, and he
Is
was
it
like,
Saint
I know.
St. Carmel
that.
Or Mount Carmel?
Mount St. Carmel. Mount
no, Mount Carmel.
Mount Carmel, Mount Carmel yeah, yeah. High School.
Yeah.
And I said that to John Mulaney, and he was like, I know that school.
Oh, really?
So,
yeah, yeah.
That's my John Mulaney impression.
Dead on.
Thank you.
And your dad is an actor. He ended up out here working on soap operas for many, many years, correct?
Yeah, yeah.
And who was he and where was he?
He started out on As the World Turns mm-hmm. as a young man.
Yes.
And he was Dr. Dan Stewart.
Sure.
I don't know the context of that at all. He would tell me every day when as a child, I was Dr. Dan Stewart on As the World Turns.
He's a handsome man?
He was a very handsome guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And then he was on General Hospital for about 11 years. And he played Sean Donnelly, who's a detective. They had detectives, part of the show about a hospital. There was a lot of detective work going on.
Yeah, there's crime and stuff. Yeah.
So he was on that when I was a kid and then stopped. And then when I was in high school and college, he was on Passions.
That's
the crazy one
with like the little person.
The witches and the monkeys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wasn't there like an evil little person that was supposed to be a doll?
Yes, that was supposed to be a doll that came to life. There was a monkey. Those characters were not on the show when my dad was on the show. When my dad came on,
it was classy.
He elevated that shit. Okay.
Right. Of course.
No, it was pretty terrible. But it did put me through college. So thank you, Passions. But yeah, crazy show. And the monkey on the show had a dressing room that was next to my dad's dressing room.
And was it a monkey or a chimpanzee?
Well, chimpanzee, excuse me.
Oh, it's okay.
Is monkey derogatory?
Well, I mean, a chimpanzee is an ape. So,
right.
But, you know, I mean, it's that.
But aren't we?
Yeah, but I mean, unless the chimp is listening, we probably don't have to worry about it.
They're always listening. Are you a fan of the Planet of the Apes franchise universe?
I mean, I like the old ones when I was a kid.
You need to start watching the new ones because they're pretty incredible.
I've seen some of them, and I don't know.
They're incredible. Steve Zahn, who's one of my favorite actors, plays a monkey in one of the more recent films.
Well, he wouldn't be a monkey.
But
there's
I'm sorry, a chimp.
There's chimps, gorillas, and orangutans.
They're all the same, though. No?
No. Dr. Zaius, you know, the blondes, you know, some of them are blonde.
Oh, you're talking about the OG one?
Yeah.
Okay, okay.
And I think in there's some orangutans.
It's orangutan.
Whatever. I'm not saying monkey.
I feel like I'm gonna get canceled.
We get to correct each other. This morning, I have a four-year-old, and we were driving to school, and we have two dogs, and one of them's getting a haircut. And I said, Daisy's getting a haircut today. And she went, no, Polly is getting a haircut. And I said, oh, right, Polly. I said, I got the names mixed up. And about 10 seconds later, she said, I loved when I was right.
That's amazing.
Yeah, yeah. I loved when I was right.
That's amazing. Yeah. That is so funny.
I mean, we all do.
We all do.
I love when I'm right.
Yeah.
And luckily, I get to be right most of the time.
Most of the time.
Yeah.
Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places. Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at a coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.
Hey, Conan O'Brien here. My travel series, Conan O'Brien Must Go, is premiering on Max on April 18th. This is a show that kind of grew out of the podcast, as you guys know.
Yeah.
And I traveled to Norway, Argentina, Thailand, and Ireland to meet some of my fans that I met through the podcast. I have a lot of adventures. I've become a gaucho, a Muay Thai kickboxer. I'm an old lighthouse keeper. I'm a soccer player. I even visit my ancestral town in Ireland. Hmm. They've asked me never to return. You might even see a certain associate producer in my travels. You don't want to miss it. I love saying that when you might be fine with missing it, but I think you'll like it. Watch Conan O'Brien Must Go, available to watch now on Max.
Can't you tell my love's a girl?
Really? You like all of it? You see, I'm not even that aware of them.
Well,
I wasn't either, but then I
did a binge recently.
Yeah.
Where my boyfriend and I were like, do you want to watch every single Planet of the Apes movie ever made?
From beginning, Charlton Heston, OG.
Not the Charlton Heston one, but we started with the Mark Wahlberg one.
Oh, see, you're so young.
I know.
You're missing
out. But as a child. No, I have seen the OG one, of course.
Yeah.
I'm an old soul. I've seen an old movie once or twice.
Right.
Ghostbusters
was so scary.
It's so scary.
Yeah.
But I have a weird fascination with those movies. They're not good.
Yeah.
But they're great.
Yeah.
They're great.
Yeah. There's you grew up here.
I grew up. Literally, the house that I grew up in is four blocks away from where we're sitting.
Oh, wow.
And my family has a store on this street that we're on right now.
I want to talk about, they own a store called Flicka.
Yeah.
Which is a children's clothing store.
Yeah.
Toys, too. You know, toys, like some toys, too. I have spent a gazillion dollars
in that store. I might have helped you.
I might have
waited on you
because
I worked there, like, on and off for 8 years.
Well, because I have older kids. Mm-hmm. I have a 23-year-old and an 18-year-old and now a 4-year-old. And
I'm so certain I helped
absolutely.
You.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think so. You know, because, and you look familiar to me.
Oh my God. Well, I am the princess of Hancock Park.
Is that true?
Yeah. According to me.
I mean, I'm pretty familiar with Hancock Park royalty and, yeah.
I abdicated.
No, I used to live in this neighborhood, sorta.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, I lived on Highland between 2nd and 3rd for, I don't know, 12 years.
Oh, wow.
Like that. And so, which is not exactly Larchmont, but we were over here.
I was going to say, that's not even fucking close.
No, I know. There's a lot of Orthodox Jews by us, and there's a lot of Republicans by you, you know?
Where?
In Hancock Park.
Are there?
Oh, fuck yes.
Now?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
I mean, they're probably dying out.
I hope so.
But yeah, but there's, yeah, definitely.
Then the younger
Republicans.
Hang out
Republicans... at Wilshire Country Club.
Oh, I yeah, never yeah. have. Yeah, yeah. I never have.
Oh, I do all the time.
Oh,
no, no.
Oh, good.
No, no,
good,
I mean.
Good, good, good.
I
Great.
I have had friends that are members there, and also my children used to go to golf camp. In the summertime.
Oh, God.
Yes. Which my
Jesus
son.
Jesus Christ, Andy.
In between one year and the next year, we asked my son when he was probably about eight, like, do you want to go to golf camp next year? And he said, oh, he said, absolutely. And I was like, I don't even really feel like you like golf that much. Why do you want to? He goes, the lunch is so good. He just, because they would give him lunch at, you know, like in the middle of the day.
That's amazing.
So, yeah.
And I'm sure it was like caviar and creme
fraiche. No, it was probably just like burgers.
Right.
You know, burgers and hot dogs and burgers and hot dogs.
Right.
So.
I did do tennis camp one year at the Marlboro yep. School back uh-huh. when I was a kid.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And that was the worst month of my life.
Why?
I had the meanest teacher, and he kept telling me that my form was shit, and I was nine.
And he would say, your form is
shit. Yeah, your form is shit. Yeah.
Wow. Mm-hmm. And I bet he was probably 17.
No, he was like a 52-year-old man with a ponytail.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's great. Yeah.
Formative.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, not a lot of angry old men teaching tennis. I mean, and that's ironic. I was sarcastic because there's a lot of
there's a lot of them. Men. Tennis is intense.
You didn't go to Marlboro?
No, I didn't. I went to Immaculate Heart, okay. which is they're well, we have bad names for each other. So Marlboro, this is inside information. Marlboro is the sluts on the street.
Nice.
And Immaculate Heart are the hoes on the hill.
Nice.
Because we're in Las Feliz.
I see.
So, and our school is on a hill. But it is the same high school as Meghan Markle. Thank you.
No way.
Yeah, thank you.
And are the girls there, in fact, hoes?
I mean, no. No.
I mean, it's
Heidi
Catholic
Fleiss
school.
Did go to Immaculate Heart, though.
Oh, wow.
And so did Tyra Banks.
Yeah.
And the Go-Go's.
We took my son, when we first moved out here and we were shopping for a pediatrician, we took my son, who was, you know, maybe a year old, to Heidi Fleiss's dad. Because her dad is a pediatrician.
No way.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
And he was sort of a very soft and gentle, skinny hippie man. You know, kind of, wow. You could just tell he was like a weird old hippie with long, curly white hair. And he was very sweet. And the two things I remember from it is he asked, he said, well, is William circumcised?
Oh.
And we said, no. And he said, oh. And he asked me.
I'll do it now for $10.
No, he asked me, he said, are you circumcised? And I said, yeah. And he said, well, most fathers really, they have a thing about wanting their son to look like them. And that, why didn't you? And I said, well, I said, I feel like he was born perfect. So why change it? And he went, good for you. Good for you.
What a strange conversation
and
to
then,
have, because none of that matters.
And then when he started examining my son, and you know, like, you know, he did a, you know, just the regular kind of examination, but when he took his diaper off, he went, well, you are a boy.
What?
Yes. Like, I wasn't it in doubt, Dr. Fleiss?
What?
Yes. Yes.
Ew, I don't like that.
We didn't either. We did not choose him as our pediatrician, you know.
That
was okay,
so
you know.
Wild.
Just, you know, there's a, you know, baby doctors.
Baby doctors.
Yeah, yeah. They're not, they're like not full of irony, you know
right.
what I mean? They're
yeah,
pretty
yeah.
straightforward.
Yeah. It's serious business.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yikes.
So did you grow up going to comedy stuff here? Did you like go to the Groundlings when you were little? And
well, not when I was little. I grew up kind of obsessed with comedy and mm-hmm. and I was obsessed with Tracy Ullman's show on mm-hmm. HBO. My parents let me watch HBO at a very young age.
Yeah.
So I was watching that.
That's fine, though.
That's fine.
It's really fine.
It's
I mean,
really
my
fine.
Parents let us watch. My parents let my brother subscribe to Playboy.
Wow.
Yeah.
I like that.
Because, like, yeah, you know, whatever.
My dad would, he would take me to the newsstand and he would buy the Playboy magazines. And I would ask him why. And he'd be like, the articles are fantastic. So.
Oh, and the titties.
And the tits.
And the titties.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the well-groomed pubes, yeah. depending on the era.
But no, and then also my I say this all the time whenever I'm asked, but my parents had these old best of Johnny Carson tapes on VHS. And this was basically like a YouTube compilation video before YouTube.
Yeah.
You know, that you would kind of buy these like VHS box sets of like best of like Jerry Springer or like Johnny Carson or
You know,
funny moments, whatever.
Right.
Anyway, when I was six, I was obsessed with these tapes and I would watch them over and over and over again. I was obsessed with Johnny Carson. And then when I found out that he was no longer living.
Identifying what just these old men.
Yes.
You know, it's all just like old men.
But even like the guests on the show, I thought that it was happening now.
Wow.
And I was like, oh my God, Phyllis Diller.
Yeah.
You know, I
Gina Lola Brigida.
B. Arthur. My favorite. But so when I found out that a lot of these people were dead, I was beside myself.
Wow.
Like when I found out that Johnny Carson was dead, I couldn't understand it. I was so sad.
Wow.
Yeah. So that, and then I watched a lot of Mad TV and In Living Color.
Yeah.
SNL when I was super young, so
yeah.
I was definitely obsessed with it.
Yeah,
yeah.
What about your mom? What does your mom do? And where is she from here too? Or?
Well, she's actually from Sweden.
Oh wow.
So my dad was from Chicago.
Flicka. That's the name Flicka.
Yeah, it means girl in Swedish.
Means girl in Swedish.
And some people are like, why is your family store named after a fucking horse? and those people are stupid. But
they are.
My mom's from Sweden. She came over here when she was seven, I believe.
To California.
To California. Mm-hmm. Her parents were already here.
Yeah.
And
they left her behind?
They left her behind. Yeah. So
Maybe you will find us.
They pulled a Jack
Maybe
Nicholson
you won't.
On her. They pulled a Jack Nicholson on her. She thought that her grandparents were her parents. Right?
No shit. Really?
Well, because they left when she was so young, right? So I don't think she was being lied to.
Wow.
I just think that she was thinking differently.
That's so weird people do that.
I know.
It's
but so
weird.
My grandparents came here to kind of set up shop, right?
I see.
They were setting up shop and then they got pregnant and they were like, okay, we need to go get our other kid. We need fuck. Shit. God damn it. We need to go get her.
Yeah.
You know? Her grandparents were like, Lilybeth, you're going to get on a plane in the sky and go to America and see your mom and dad. And she was like, I'm sorry, what? What's a plane?
My who and what?
And what's a plane?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, she lived in a very tiny village in Sweden.
Yeah.
Anyway, so they put her on a plane and she gets off the plane and, wait a second, hold on. Your note says diagnosed with ADHD as a kid.
That's true.
Are those notes for me?
Yeah, yeah.
That's amazing.
See?
I love that that's on the notes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. It says weak character. Too.
I can see that.
Weak character, yeah.
Yeah, we'll get into that.
Shoplifter.
It
says, yeah.
I do have a shoplifting story.
All right, good.
But yes, so when she saw her dad in the airport, he ran up to her.
You know what's so funny, too, is that you were distracted.
Right.
By
ADHD. Classic ADHD moment.
And that's totally me. Like with my intrusive thoughts of like, hey, you got a tattoo. Are you a Scorpio? You
know,
always ready to change the topic,
yeah.
You know, and grind the gears.
Yeah. But anyway, so my mom's dad ran up to her at the airport and said, Lilybeth, we're so happy you're here. And she thought it was a stranger. So she slapped him and ran away.
Wow.
Yeah. So trauma, a little bit of traumas. But then she didn't like speak English for the first year and a half that she was here. She was learning English.
Uh-huh.
And the only thing she knew how to say in English was, I don't know how to speak English. So everyone thought she was like lying and a weirdo.
Wow.
In elementary school.
And she's seven.
She's seven.
Wow.
Yeah. And then she assimilated and she got married at 18 and had a baby at 18 and was married and then went through a divorce and then met my dad. They met on the Paramount lot.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they met twice in one day, once at the Paramount lot, and then 4 hours later at the Mickey Fine Pharmacy in Beverly Hills.
Wow.
Yeah.
And was she in show business?
She was a model for a minute,
uh-huh.
and then she really wanted to be an actress.
Sure. Who doesn't?
Who doesn't?
I'm still waiting.
Me too. Yeah. And she did some commercials. She did some Grey Poupon commercials. She was in the one on the yacht.
Wow.
She was the woman on the yacht.
Nice.
That's
Keep
her claim
an eye
to
out
fame.
For it.
And she was a secretary for a big producer on the Paramount lot. I forget who, but she would tell me. And so she was always on the lot, you know, running around and doing stuff. And she bumped into my dad, and my dad was like, "Nice legs." And then
did he really say nice legs?
I don't know. Oh. They actually met first at the pharmacy, and then 4 hours later on the Paramount lot. So they were at the pharmacy. And my dad.
Are you following me?
Yes.
Yeah.
So they first meet at the pharmacy, and you know my dad thinks that she's beautiful, and he says something like, "God, these prescription prices are getting crazy," and she's like, "Yeah." And so that was it. And then 4 hours later, he's on the Paramount lot going to an audition, and they pass by each other, and she turns around and she goes, "Are you following me?" And then that was it.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
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 Was your dad a ladies' man? I mean, being handsome, did he?
I mean, I would think so.
Yeah, yeah.
He was very handsome and charming for sure.
Yeah,
yeah, definitely.
Because that kind of, like, I hear that and I mean, I've never had a relationship with somebody that I didn't have at least like 15 hours of exposure to, you know, like,
oh, right,
you know what I mean?
Right,
it's
right,
like,
right.
I just recently did a live show and someone on the show made mention of, it was Andy Daly and I, and Mae Martin was in it. And they said to me and Andy, asked about our pickup lines. And I was like, it's hilarious that you think I have any idea how any of that
works. You have to be friends with that person for 5 years and kind of like accidentally slip in and like a holiday party.
I've done improv classes for a million years
then,
you know, just pray for the booze to work, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
hot people
are, they have, it's so easy, you know,
it's so easy
it for
really
hot
is.
People.
I know.
Oh, well, yeah. Anyway, once she met your dad, was that, did she continue to work or she opened the store?
Yeah,
you know?
No. So then, they started dating and they both had daughters already from their previous marriages.
Okay.
So it was kind of a Brady Bunch moment. They got married. And,
nice. And those are older sisters of mine. Okay.
So I'm the youngest of five.
Of five. Wow.
Yeah.
That's for LA. That's a big brood.
It's a big bunch.
Yeah.
There was a lot of girls.
Is it all girls? Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Wow.
And the dog was a girl and the cat was a girl.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, so there's a 19-year age gap between my youngest sister and then me.
I see.
And then my oldest sister, I believe, is like 65, 66.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah. And my dad was 55 when I was born.
And there's somebody 19 years younger than you?
No. So there's a 19-year age gap between me and my older sister, who's the youngest, if that makes sense.
So you're the youngest.
I'm the youngest. But when I say that, I'm saying like my youngest sister.
I see.
Of the coven of sisters.
I understand. The next sister up is 19 years older than you.
Yes.
So you were what is known as an accident.
No, I was artificially inseminated in the 1980s.
What?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
They just decided like the 19-year-old was leaving and they were going to be left with each other and they better get another kid in there to buffer.
Well, I don't know. I think my parents really wanted a child together.
Yeah.
Because, you know, my mom, when she had my two older sisters in the 70s, like they gassed her. You know, and knocked her out. And it was like a really traumatic birth experience.
Yeah.
And then when my dad had his older daughters with his first wife, you know, he's smoking in the waiting room.
Oh, so
and
they never had children together.
Until they had me.
Wow.
Yeah. And so they...
And how long had they been married at that point?
They were married for, I want to say, 8 or 9 years before they... And then they had me.
And
so they got married in 81 and then they had me in 89.
How old were they?
So my mom was 42 when she had me.
Uh-huh.
And in 1989, that was kind of unheard of.
Yeah, yeah.
So to go through artificial insemination and then also to be 42 in the late 80s, like that just wasn't a thing that was happening.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And my dad was 55 when I was born.
Because my wife had a daughter when I met her, mm-hmm. and she had her daughter when she was 43, mm. and I'm 57, mm. and we have a 4-year-old. So it's like...
It's similar.
We're in that similar boat, which is a very L.A.
It's a very L.A.
Very
thing.
L.A. thing to do, but yeah. And some of the little fuckers in her class have said, like, are you her grandpa?
Oh, that would happen to me all the time.
Shut up.
All the time. My mom would take me around and like, oh, a little day out with your granddaughter.
Ooh.
Yeah. And mom was, both of my parents strangely both looked 25 years younger than they were.
Yeah.
But that would happen all the time. And my sisters, they're always, you know, oh, you and your daughter and...
Yeah.
All the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was it a different experience, like being in high school and having older parents? Like, did you notice it, or was it just they're your parents in it?
I mean,
I'm asking for very personal reasons.
No. Well,
looking forward, when I'm in using a walker at my daughter's high school graduation.
One thing that I will appreciate, or that I do appreciate, not will, is that I was exposed to older things, right?
Right.
I was exposed to Johnny Carson. I was exposed to Frank Sinatra and Bing Crosby music.
I was
exposed to old movies. I had a lot of education about the past, and I wasn't sort of this like 90s kid that had no context of what was before me. Because now you look at kids now and it's like iPad kids, and they don't know what a CD player looks like.
Right.
And I didn't have that.
Or a rotary phone.
I knew what an 8-track was.
Yeah.
I knew what a rotary phone was,
know?
Because I had these older parents that knew so much and taught me a lot. And so I really appreciate that. Like, so many old movies and old music and old literature, like all of that stuff, you know, was taught to me.
Yeah.
But when I was in school, I would say like school was tough because it was by the time I got to high school, middle school and high school, everything was so advanced. And, you know, like the age running joke of, you know, the hardest you'll ever cry is if your dad is sitting down with you trying to teach you how to do your math homework,
mm-hmm.
you know? Everyone's had that experience of getting yelled at by their dad trying to do multiplication. Like, it was so hard because it changes so much, like, every 10 years.
Yeah,
like,
the math,
I recently saw a TikTok video of how they're teaching kids how to do long division right now, and it's insane looking. Like, I don't know what they're doing.
Right.
I couldn't help my kid do math.
And that was, you know, I didn't want to do math when I had to do math.
Yeah.
So when it got to time to, like, teach my kids math, I would go to, they'd have the parent teacher nights every year at school, which, by the way, I don't know how it is with you, but, like, parents today are expected expected to be involved so much more than my you know, I don't even, you know, there'd be like one teacher's meeting, you know, a year, and then nothing.
And I think that's how I think,
you know,
like,
you were on your own.
Yeah. Well, my parents were super involved in my day-to-day when I was home.
Yeah.
But my parents were also old school, where it's like, there's another fucking meeting?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's too much.
And then I would go to these parent-teacher things, and they'd be like, well, here, let us explain to you how we're teaching the math. And I'd be like, well, that's between you two.
Right.
What the fuck do I need to know about
How about you teach them, and then they learn it?
Yeah. You know, that's just like, and it's private school, too, so you're paying for
it. Yes.
So it's like, if you go to a restaurant and the chef comes out and wants to tell you step by step how he cooked the meal.
I don't care.
Just cook the meal.
Just cook
the meal.
Bring it out.
Me a kid that knows math.
Right.
You know?
Right.
That's all I want out of the other end.
Right. Yeah.
And then my ex-wife at one point did tell me, she's like, I get the feeling sometimes like you just don't really care about their academic life. And I was like, yeah, you're right. I do not.
Yeah.
I do not care.
Yeah.
It's nice they get good grades, and I like them to get good grades. And I got pretty good grades without even, you know, like, luckily smart enough and kind of paid attention during class, but like reading.
Lucky.
And I did enough. You know, I was a B-plus student who could have easily been an A student if I had tried harder.
Mm-hmm.
And my kids are A students, you know, like they're great.
That's great.
And I'm proud of them and everything. But like, if they were C students, I wouldn't be, you know, like gnashing my teeth and frustrated. It's like, you know, which I, you know, my kids, My son at one point was like, I wish you push me more. And I'm like, well,
push yourself.
I was like, honey, you need a different dad then, because that is not me. You
push
know?
Yourself.
Yeah, right. So I was like, nobody pushed me. I was like, once I left the door, it's like, well, see you at dinner, you know, and in, whatever happened in between was my business.
But also, I think that's a generation now. Like, everyone is like expected to be a girl boss.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, it's not. It's fine. I had a terrible time in school.
Right.
But I also was like, I'm never going to need any of this. And this is all fucking bullshit.
I'm going to get on Instagram.
I'm going to. No. Oh, God. Oh, no. No, but like I had to repeat math all the time. I had to do summer school. I had to, you know, all the things. It was such a pain in the ass. And I remember I was in geometry. And I just started crying. And I had a very nice geometry teacher. And she was like, let me help you kind of understand why you need to know this. And I was like, but I don't need to know this. It's ruining my fucking life. And I was lied to. They're like, if you ever blank, then you might need to know the Pythagorean theorem.
Right.
And I was like, you're fucking lying to me.
Yes.
I would rather have learned how to do my taxes.
Yeah.
Or buy a house.
Yeah.
I don't know how to do those things.
Yeah, yeah.
But I've never used geometry, and I'm still mad about it. I'm still mad.
I mean, it's only if you're going to do, like, mild carpentry. Like, minor carpentry. If you're going to be working with angles as you're cutting wood to put something together,
if I ever construct my own back deck,
yes,
then I can
you
refer.
You might need it. Yeah. But no, I don't. And I don't, when it came around to long division, I realized, like, I don't remember how to do this.
Right, me neither.
And it's like, well, there's a calculator. I don't really need to know how
to
do this.
Also, like, kids in school these days, so I, like, just got a home computer with internet when I was 15.
Uh-huh.
And the internet back then was obviously very limited.
Yeah. Was it dial-up still?
It was dial-up. Yeah. And, like, you couldn't really, like, I couldn't, like, use the internet to help me with my history homework, for example, or, like, help me write a paper. So the internet is literally endless now. So how are kids not constantly cheating? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, like, no, absolutely. Like, I think I think a lot of them are. I think they're like pulling, you know,
like it's
ripping off source material from all over the
can't
place.
Can't you do like, oh, I have to write a paper about Adolf Hitler and World War II. Let me just go to ChatGPT and I'll be done with it in 20 minutes.
Probably.
Like, I don't understand how are they avoiding that?
Yeah, and how a teacher, well, usually, if the technology gets better, but usually you can tell. I feel like most AI things that I've read, they're just
you can tell, but you can take the information and then rephrase, which I used to do with SparkNotes back in the day. Oh yeah.
Well, I do think that like people are using AI in a term paper where they'll let the AI write the term paper and then they'll go back and humanify it.
Right, that's what I mean. You know?
Yeah.
But that's so easy.
I know, but
I'm fascinated. I would be such a fucking kick-ass student now.
I would know all the angles.
Put me in, coach. I can do it.
Yeah, no, it's funny because, like, I had an animated pitch that I wanted to do that was, like, it was going to take place in the Middle Ages. So I'm like, I want kind of, you know, like, I don't need deep dives, but I do kind of want to get some sense of, like, what are different things that, you know, what life was like in the Middle Ages.
Yeah.
And there's a Encyclopedia Britannica website.
Yeah.
I'm still looking at the Encyclopedia Britannica.
Yeah.
But it's just on the internet.
It's all on the internet.
Yeah.
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 Ugh, those lucky bastards.
Well, did you go to, in school, were you doing acting, you know, like school plays? And did you know that was kind of where you were going?
Yeah, I was
you
doing
always were
all
like,
the plays, all the musicals.
And it was at your house. So you lived in a house that show business paid for. So you're like, yeah, this makes sense.
Yeah. But it was never like, I don't know, it's weird. It's almost like I liked acting and performing before I even correlated that my dad was an actor.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So my dad was on a soap opera, so he was on TV every day in the middle of the day, right? Yeah. And so growing up, it was, you know, my mom would put on the TV and be like, oh, there's dad. And it was kind of this fun little thing.
Yeah.
But I thought everyone's dad was on TV in the middle of the day because that's where work was.
Right.
And so my best friend in elementary school, or like pre-K or something like that, was like, my dad's a pilot. And I was like, no, your dad's on TV. Like, what time of the day is your dad on TV?
Maybe he plays the pilot on Ryan's Hope.
And I didn't know, but I didn't understand. Yeah. And then there was like a Christmas episode of General Hospital where everyone who has a kid brings their kid to the children's hospital scene. And, and so my dad is filming this scene, but you can hear me. It's like on a tape somewhere. You can hear me like tugging his shirt and being like, daddy, daddy, I want to cook. Like, I had no concept. Right. Like, why are there weird cameras here? What is going on? Yeah, yeah. Where is his office? Yeah. Like, I had no concept of what was happening.
Wow.
Until like later.
Later, yeah, yeah. And why is the detective bringing his child to the hospital?
Right. And why are we at a fake hospital?
Yeah. My kids had weird things like, it would be a weird thing where they knew that I was a voice in a cartoon, but they would think I was the only human. The rest was, you know, like, I was in Madagascar, and that, like, yeah, that's me doing that voice, but the rest of them are actual, like, giraffes and lions and things.
Same. So my dad was technically one of the first Avengers. There was the Avengers animated show in the 90s, and he was Hawkeye.
Wow.
And I remember thinking, like, okay, so my dad's Hawkeye. But, like, there was no concept of, like, he went into a job and like, is an actor, and there
he
are other people.
He was wearing flip-flops and went and talked into a microphone. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
It was just, like, other people's dads also do things like that sometimes.
Yeah.
There was no concept of what the job was.
Yeah.
Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places. Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at a coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.
If I would have kept making only the minimum payments on my credit cards, my debt would have taken me 47 years to pay off.
These are real National Debt Relief customers.
I knew I wasn't going to be able to get out of debt by myself.
Credit card, medical, or personal loan debt? National Debt Relief negotiates with your creditors to reduce what you owe.
National Debt Relief got me out of debt.
You could be debt-free in as little as 24 to 48 months. Visit NationalDebtRelief.com to learn more and get started. NationalDebtRelief.com.
Can't you tell my love's a crow?
And I mean, it's good, too, that for children to be unimpressed with their parents, you know, lives and work, and to be sort of like, ooh.
Yeah.
But
then they become
boring.
Very impressed as they get older.
Yeah. Were you impressed that with your dad as time went on?
Definitely.
Yeah.
I would say. Yeah. Because, I mean, he was a character actor for so long. And I know character actor is kind of an old term these days.
Is it?
Well, I feel like people get offended by it now.
What the fuck else am I?
I mean, same.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not an ingenue, but like, I...
Yes, you are. You seem like...
Honestly, it seems like you're
so
Andy.
Young and you don't know much.
I know,
that's really...
And I'm so beautiful.
Oh, so beautiful and naive. Oh, you're just going to get chewed up and spit out by the world.
I can't wait to be tarnished by the industry. Like a little silver spoon.
Like a fawn being run over by a truck.
Yeah. No, like at first I was like, for a while I was like, my dad was on soap operas.
Okay.
Yeah. Like I was like a little cunt about it. Sorry that I used the word cunt.
No, that's all right. I love that word.
Me too.
Oh, it's fantastic.
I love that word.
I love the UK usage of it too.
Cunt.
Yeah. No, just like one of my favorites is... In The Exorcist, Mm-hmm. When, you know, the drunken English guy that that Reagan kills, and then he, like, when he comes back after he says, "Your cunting daughter," like cunting as an adjective is so fantastic.
Your cunting ways.
Your cunting daughter killed me.
The Brits know how to talk.
Yeah, yeah.
They make anything sound like chocolate.
Yeah.
It's yep. fantastic.
Yeah, yeah.
No, but as I got older, I definitely appreciated my dad's career a lot more. And I was like, wow.
Yeah.
I mean, he was on like the Mary Tyler Moore Show. He was on The Love Boat. He was on Gunsmoke. Wow. He was on 90210.
And made a good living, you know?
Yeah. I mean, like, and that's hard.
Yeah.
It's hard.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's impossible to do that.
Yeah.
You know?
And that usually means that you're like, you're good to work with.
Right.
You don't,
no,
you don't do
like
that if you're an asshole.
Right.
Because that people find out and they stop hiring you.
Right. Totally.
You know, so
your day's coming.
They're finding out. No, I know.
Kidding.
It's been fine. They found out. They're like, no, he's on the surface. He's nice, but secretly very judgmental. Always judging. Which actually does kind of make something that I thought about you is that so many of your characters are sort of, they are on their face, L.A. waitress, you know, like very California-y, very much about L.A. people. And you're an L.A. native.
Mm-hmm.
And it just makes me wonder, why do you think that, because you, it is almost like an outsider's perspective that you have on L.A. people, LA culture, LA brains.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering if you ever thought about why you'd have that.
Because natives view that differently, I think. That's my theory. Like, so a lot of those like LA archetypes and personalities and stereotypes,
mm-hmm.
those are what I call the transplants.
Oh, I see.
They come in and they start to run amok, you know?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
so it's a lot of these kind of stereotypical personalities and characters that I've sort of witnessed my whole life. And
yeah.
I'm like, what is that about?
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And so I have this, I feel like I'm outside looking in, even though I grew up here, because I feel like natives to LA, like I grew up very, in like a very down to earth dynamic with my parents and my family. I didn't have like a super like Hollywood childhood.
Right.
Like, you know, my dad was a working actor, but he was not famous.
And
like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, didn't
like,
go to, swanky parties all the time. Yeah,
no, it wasn't. My mom opened up like a mom and pop kid store, like, you know. And so, I don't know. I just, I remember Erewhon, the store, when I was a kid, was just like a crunchy vitamin shop.
Yes.
And it's always been there. It was there since I was like 8 years old.
Yeah. I first came to LA, it was like that. It was just like the health food store where it was full of weirdos.
Right. It was full of weirdos.
Yeah.
And now it's this hip spot with like $30 collagen smoothies.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
I haven't even been in probably 15 years.
Same.
Just because, like, why?
It stresses me out and I don't want to do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And same with Larchmont, too. Like, I grew up on Larchmont. There used to be a hardware store.
Yep.
There used to be a diner.
I used to go there.
Yeah.
You know?
And now it's like Diptyque.
Yeah.
And I don't know what the fuck else is over there.
No, I know.
And it stresses me out.
Yeah. Yeah. It still is a really nice area. And I'm really,
it's very nice.
I'm very glad to have a reason to. You know, and I use this studio just as like a place to get out of the house, too. And it's really nice to have it here. But yes, it is. You are missing like Café Chapeau, you know, which
I think about Café Chapeau.
It was
every other day.
Korean family owned diner.
Oh, my God.
It was so good.
It was
and it
so
was
good.
Just the no, they had no employees. They all, it was only if you were like
no,
a
it
child.
Was just them.
Yeah, yeah.
It was just them. And it was like, you want eggs? We'll make you eggs.
Yes.
You want some potatoes? We'll make you potatoes.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
it was this little diner.
Yeah.
We would go there every day.
Yep. I used to be there all
it was the
time.
The best.
And they had hats on the wall.
They had hats on the wall. Yes.
Because it was Café Chapeau.
Yeah.
So it was hats. Yeah.
Molly Shannon, I'm going to name drop, but Molly Shannon told me a very funny story once about Café Chapeau. Where we were talking about Larchmont because she's lived in the area for a long time.
Long time, yeah.
And we were talking about Larchmont and she said once that her and Will Ferrell would frequently meet up at, I might be butchering the story, but she said that they would frequently meet up at Café Chapeau wearing very crazy wild hats and speak in accents to each other and be in like fully different characters for an entire lunch together and then part ways.
I believe it.
And then do it again with like a different character and a different hat.
God bless them.
And I just thought that was so fantastic.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
Café Chapeau. My God. What a place.
I know. It is different. And the hardware store. It was a great old hardware store.
It was a great hardware store.
Yeah.
Yeah. Look at us.
Look at us.
Look at us.
Old salts complained about how things used to be better.
Things are different here.
Yeah, I don't like things changing. Except for my Depends.
I would love to wear a Depends every day.
I wouldn't.
It looks comfy.
I wouldn't.
Like just a big t-shirt, slap your Depends on, go to bed. Like
I just can't. I can't. I mean, I know it wicks, you know.
It wicks. I can't wait for it. And I think I'm going to like it.
Okay.
That's all I'm going to say.
There's nothing stopping you.
I could do it now.
Right down the street. Just go get yourself some and let her rip.
Yeah.
Just walk around with a big puffy butt.
Can you imagine? Sorry, guys. I shit myself, so I'll be right back. I got to change myself.
There's a great Jiminy Glick where he's talking to Steve Martin, and Steve Martin just makes a passing joke about adult diapers. And Jiminy Glick, Martin Short, just immediately goes into like, I'm so glad you brought that up. Can you make a stinky in them? he's been really thinking about, well, sure, of course you can pee in them all day.
But can you shit in it?
Can you really take a shit in them and get away with it for a while? You know? Until the appointment's over?
Oh, I miss Jiminy Glick.
Yeah, that was a really
Such
funny
a good character.
So many of your characters too, and they're so funny, but they're so annoying.
I know.
Like it's like if you do some male drag, but like if it was a man doing like you, the person doing these characters could be accused of misogyny because there's such detailed examination of various female foibles that it's like all these people are so hilarious, but oh, they're so awful.
It's weird because I've gotten some comments in the past from certain women being like, this is misogynistic.
Yeah.
And of course, me doing that voice is going to be seen as misogynistic.
Right.
But it's
and you did say cunt.
I did say cunt.
Yeah.
But it's first of all, the only way that I can explain it is like, I'm a woman.
Yeah.
And I love women. And I think women are fascinating and interesting. And I think men are dumb and boring. Like, legitimately. I really do.
I mean, I don't want to sit here and be like, an ally. No, but I 100% agree.
Women are so dynamic and interesting.
If I'm at a party.
And smart.
If I'm at a party, usually there ends up kind of being, you know, often like a gender split. Mm-hmm. And even from when I was a child, like the men are watching the game and the women are in the kitchen.
Oh, well, you got to check out the...
And I was always like, I'm going to the kitchen. That's where the conversation is.
They're
gossiping. Yeah.
They're talking about their marriages, their sex life, whose kid they hate.
Yeah,
oh my God, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Yes. The coven.
Yes.
It's the coven. Anyway, I love women and I think that they're so interesting. I also grew up in a family of very dynamic, interesting, loud, opinionated women.
Yeah.
So I'm a woman observer. I love women. But also when I do male characters too, it's so weird because people are like, why do you always do women? And it's like, well, I am a woman.
Right. it's easier.
And so
you don't have to put on the makeup of the stubble. You know? Yeah, yeah.
But I do men sometimes, and it's usually just me being like, oh, shit. Like, because I just fucking hate them. Oh, fuck, dude. Sorry about that.
Dude, bro.
Yeah.
I understand that too because I always like criticism is natural and healthy and it's how progress is made. So it is like you can't go through life not noticing like, geez, that's fucked up. Mm-hmm. Like, what are you supposed to just go like, nope, everything's cool and hunky-dory, you know?
Yeah.
So it is, I mean, I can see that. And you certainly, you know,
you certainly can love something and also have pretty, you know, cold-eyed ideas about that thing's shortcomings.
Yeah.
I'm talking about my mom.
Yeah. No, but it's not even to me, like, it's not like the woman's experience. It's just these different personality types.
Yeah.
But some of them happen to be women. It's not like I'm doing women specifically. Do you know
right,
what I mean?
Right,
like,
no.
I'm just doing people.
I understand.
Yeah.
But it's also, too, it's the nature of an Instagram feed.
Yeah.
Because there's no space in between. You just can just go bam, bam, bam,
right.
bam,
yeah,
down,
yeah.
down, literally in a line, mm-hmm. straight down. And you just see, like, oh, there's, you know, like, there's a woman that is, you know, self-absorbed, and there's another woman that's self-absorbed in another way. And I mean, but they're all kind of, you know, none of them are like, oh, she's just making that up.
Mm-hmm.
They're all like, oh yeah.
It's they're always based off of an experience I had.
That's what I figured.
I don't think they're all like attacking or anything like that. I just, it's more of me just finding that kind of personality type funny and interesting.
Yeah.
You know, like I posted one video a while back of a doctor's receptionist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's just my doctor's receptionist. And I think that she's wild. Like, she just is so little and she's always eating. And the fact that I interrupted her eating is
wait a second.
Yeah. And then brushing off.
Yeah, and it's like a big, everything's a big to-do.
Yeah.
And I just think she's so, like, little and fascinating.
Yeah.
And that's it.
And do you worry about her seeing?
No, but there, I did do a video. A girlfriend of mine, we went to lunch and we had a waitress who was wild. And she was like super gregarious and just like.
Is that the every waitress in LA video?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah.
And she was just like the coolest bitch I'd ever met. And I
got railed last night.
Yeah. And she was just so cool. She was like that kind of girl that you meet in high school. You're like, how do I become friends with her?
Yeah,
like, she was, but she was like my waitress.
Yeah.
And so I made the video and she found it. And she was like, I think this is me. And I saw the Instagram page and I was like, oh my God, it is her. So I sent her a message and I was like, I hope that you're not offended. Like, it is the largest form of flattery. Like, I am obsessed with you. I think you're so cool and interesting. And I exaggerated some things for jokes. And she was like, oh my God, no, like, this is the best thing that's ever happened to me. I love this. Thank you so much. This is so awesome. So she's really cool. I like
wonderful.
Follow her on Instagram.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think she's like super cool.
Oh, that's great.
But yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, you're always going to piss somebody off. I mean, you know, I feel like the landscape of social media right now is people just being offended at things all the time.
Right, right.
You know, so I don't, who cares?
How do you feel? Because you are, you know, social media, I think, can be like a love-hate kind of relationship. And especially for somebody like you, it's how I know about you. Mm-hmm. And it's how probably many people have known about you. And there's probably things happening. A lot of the things that are happening outside of social media for you are because of social media.
Yeah.
And I mean, do you ever feel like you're going to get off? Like there's going to come a point where you're going to stop doing this or do you still enjoy it? How much of a mixed bag is it?
It's a bit of a mixed bag because, you know, I started making the videos and posting them during lockdown, right?
Oh, okay.
And so that's how it started.
And it was just for fun?
Just for fun.
Yeah.
And I hadn't done that before. I hadn't posted videos on any kind of platform before.
Yeah, yeah. Is there a phrase for character videos, in, you know, to a camera? Is there...
Sometimes people say front-facing comedy.
Yeah.
I don't know. I didn't even know what it was or what I was doing when I was doing it.
Yeah.
And then I realized, like, oh, I'm doing that.
Yeah.
You
oh,
know?
That's me.
Oh, that's that thing that I've been doing.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I was just posting videos on TikTok, and then they kind of blew up. And then I was like, I started to get scared because I was like, too many people have seen this and I have too many followers and I don't know what to do now. And this is getting out of control.
Yeah, yeah.
And
what were you afraid of?
Attention. It's so weird because like as an actor, as a comedian, like you want attention and the attention then gives you jobs and then gives you money and then you have a career. So you obviously want attention, but then there's a part about when you get attention so quickly, it's terrifying, you know? So that's kind of what I was experiencing.
I understand it completely.
It started to bleed into, so TikTok was like my little dirty secret, right? And so things were kind of getting very popular and viral on TikTok. A lot of followers, a lot of, you know, people liking and commenting on videos. Right. And then it was on the news. And then there was like articles. Oh, like, wow. I was like, what is happening right now?
And you're not able to do anything else anyway because it's lockdown.
And so then that started to bleed into my Instagram. People found my Instagram. And then I started just posting some of the videos on Instagram and then getting more followers on Instagram. And my sister called me and she's like, what the fuck is going on? Are you like, what is happening on your social media? And I was like, I've been posting videos on TikTok.
I have to come clean.
I don't know. This is out of control. I don't know what to do. And then I woke up one morning.
That's like you're saying. I've been doing porn.
I've been doing street crystals. Street crystals.
Yes, sure. Street crystals.
You know, street crystals. Yeah. And then I woke up one morning and I was verified on Instagram. And I was like, and I just started crying out of fear because I was like, oh no, now what? Like, there's this level of like, I don't know, like I had like old pictures of like ex-boyfriends and like my dead dog and like my family on my Instagram. And I was like, do I have to delete those? Like, oh no.
And
like,
did you or?
I think I privated some things because people are weird on the internet,
sure they are.
You know?
Yeah,
so you, so all of a sudden you have to be a little more private and intentional, I guess.
Yep.
But yeah, but I mean, so now I'm in this place where in the last few years, obviously that afforded me a lot of opportunity and I've, you know, worked really cool jobs and been working on TV shows and this, that, and the other. And so now I'm in a place where I'm like quite busy, which is fantastic.
Yeah.
So I'm not making as many videos and that's not where my focus is. So, you know, there's not as much, I guess, social media attention happening or engagement. I hate all those words.
Right.
Because I hate social media. But yeah, so when I do post a video, when I feel like it, now it's kind of like, hey, guys, I don't know, I guess... If you like this, you could take a look at it. I don't know.
Remember this.
Remember
how I used to do this.
Remember when I used to do this all the time. Here's a. I just kind of being silly. Like it feels a little. But I try not to think about. I just do. When I feel like it.
Yeah. Exactly.
You know?
Well, and it does. It does feel. I mean, any kind of performing is better when you're doing it just because you're having fun doing it.
Yeah. Well, I like performing live now better.
Yeah.
You know, because now I'm doing that more. I have like a monthly show at the Largo. And
Caitlin Riley and acquaintances.
And acquaintances. I have to change it to something else because typing out acquaintances on like a little poster is such a pain in the ass.
Oh.
I hate that word and it's so long. No one knows how to spell it. So I have to change it to enemies or something.
Yeah.
But
and her crew.
And her crew.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just I don't know. It's this thing that was sort of born out of lockdown.
Mm-hmm.
And so now I don't make as many videos.
Mm-hmm.
And so for a while I was like, uh-oh, is that bad? But then, I decided to not think about it that way.
Yeah.
You know, because things change and evolve, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
But
it is the weird thing about being a performer too, is that most everybody... some aspect of their professional life, even if you're doing something deeply creative,
mm-hmm.
is sales. And
yeah.
And the thing about being a performer is you're the product.
Right.
You know, you can go and sell, you can show up and say, ask people if they, you know, need a new copier machine. And if they go, no, and it's still no skin off your nose. But if you're going and saying, do you like me?
Yeah.
Would you like to buy me?
Yeah.
And
they're
like,
weird.
No, don't.
It's weird.
No, thanks. You know.
It's also strange because, you know, I did certain characters a handful of times.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was a character that I did, I called Wasp Mom, that mm-hmm. got very popular. And so I would do, you know, several different videos of her just in different situations because I just always did what I thought was funny.
Yeah.
And people... liked it. People thought that she was very funny, very waspy, you know, out of touch mom, wife, whatever.
Hancock Park.
Yeah. And so, you know, video of her trying to cut the line to get a vaccine, video of her trying to figure out how to vote for the first time, like things like that, you know?
Yeah.
And as I, as a comedian actor, changed and evolved, I don't like do those videos anymore, right? Because I don't connect with it anymore. It's not really in my reverie anymore. It's not something I'm thinking about or doing. And I would get a lot of, you know, messages from people being like, how come you don't do Wasp Mom anymore? And it's that thing that I feel like a lot of performers experience where it's like, how come Julia Roberts doesn't do rom-coms anymore?
Yeah,
it's like, I mean, I'm not Julia Roberts or like any famous comedian. How come, you know, so-and-so doesn't do their show anymore? Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, we're people and, you know, it's a constantly evolving thing. And so I feel like the internet doesn't understand. The internet wants things to be constant and consistent and the same.
Yes.
And so I feel like I've noticed a lot of my comedian friends have a hard time with like relating to that aspect of social media.
Yeah.
It helps so much. And then it also kind of drains with that like, well, how do I?
Right.
You know,
well, and also there's plenty of people. There's plenty of shitty people on the internet that are more than happy to give you the same shit over and over and over and over again.
Yeah.
Because there's not like.
And those are, I think those are more just like internet people.
Yeah.
You know, like vloggers or.
But there is, you know,
influencers.
What you're, you know, there is, there's art in what you do. And if you're not, if you don't feel it, you know, like you're not going to just shit out a wasp mom because it people want you to.
Also, it's.
Until you get the deal. The Wasp Mom TV show.
Hey.
And then you are Wasp Mom all fucking day.
I'm trying. But but yeah, no, I mean, it's funny because doing all that stuff awarded me, you know, doing like getting dream jobs of mine and working on shows that I'm fans of. So it's like now I'm busy doing more professional stuff. And it's like, how come you don't make any more videos? And it's like, because I'm working.
Right, exactly. Yeah,
you know?
How come you're not writing more resumes?
Yeah.
Why don't you write resumes anymore?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, well, because I got jobs. Yeah.
Right.
Well, what are you working on? What do you want? What are you here to plug?
Myself. No, I am.
My ears.
Right now, I am a voice on a show called In the Know on Peacock.
Oh, and that's Zach Woods' Stop Motion.
Zach Woods, Mike Judge. Brandon, he is the best.
He is so funny. And he's somebody, too, that, and I, because I saw him, he was on Conan's podcast, and I saw him, and I said, like, you're selling something, because all of a sudden, you're doing front-facing comedy.
I know.
He's so fucking hilariously good at it.
He made an Instagram to promote In the Know, and now he's posting these videos, and he's just wild.
He's so funny.
He's
and just,
wild, he's so funny.
He's like one of those people, like, there are just people in comedy where you just, like, fall in love with their brain.
Yeah.
Like, you're just like, oh my God, that brain is so special
and
unique.
He's also so wildly intelligent, like, we got lunch recently, and the way that he talks to you, like, it just feels like a warm hug.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, he wants to know, like, when was the last time you cried? You know? Like, at one point, he asked me, like, I was talking about my dad. He had passed a couple of years ago, and so we were talking about that, and he looks at me, and he goes, when was the last time you felt beautiful in your grief? And I was like, oh, my God.
Yeah, he has a woodland creature aspect to
him. No, the way his brain works, I think, is so beautiful.
Yeah,
it's, you know, he like really wants to know human beings.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I think he's fantastic. But so he and his writing partner, Brandon Gardner, and Mike Judge made In the Know, and it's on Peacock, and it's stop motion animation, and I'm in it.
Yeah.
And I play the character Fabian.
Nice.
And it's great, and it's very funny, and it's on Peacock, and everyone should watch it. And I'm also going to be on a Netflix show coming out April 25th called Dead Boy Detectives.
Oh.
And that came out. Well, they just announced the premiere date yesterday, so now I can say it.
April 18th.
April 25th. What did I say? April 25th?
I have April 18th.
That's wrong.
Oh!
Wow.
Well, people, I mean, it's on Netflix.
You'll find
just
it.
Just look it
it's,
up,
it's out. It's up there.
Nick is looking right
it's,
now.
We'll it's there. It's this. Up there.
You're also in the upcoming movie, Little Death.
Yes, I am.
With David Schwimmer and yeah. Gabby Hoffman.
Yeah.
Premiered at Sundance this year.
I know. I haven't seen it yet.
Were you there?
Or no.
You didn't go?
So there was a screening before that I got invited to and I couldn't make it because I was doing something else.
Yeah.
But then I realized that was the only time I would be able to see it before Sundance. And then it premiered at Sundance and everyone loved it. And I kept getting messages from people being like, I saw you in Little Death. You were great. And I was like, oh my God, I haven't seen it.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I hear it's great. And
yeah.
David Schwimmer is amazing. We have a scene together and he's not only the nicest person alive,
yeah.
but is an incredible genius
cool.
actor. So, yeah.
Well, what else you got? I mean, what are you looking forward to? I mean,
The three questions?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
wait,
yeah.
Have you been asking me the three questions this whole time and
where
I just
didn't
know?
Where do you come from? Have you been talking about where you come from?
Yeah.
Where are you going? Are we not now talking about where you're going?
Wow. That yeah. was so seamless.
And the what have you learned? We'll get to that too.
That was so seamless.
There have been little dribs and drabs of that all the way throughout.
Wow.
Yeah.
Amazing.
That's, you know.
Amazing.
I'm like fucking Charlie Rose, low rent Charlie Rose
no,
over here.
No, you're my Charlie Rose.
No, thanks.
You're my Charlie Rose.
No, but I mean, what do you have long? Do you have like some? You said you know doing dream gigs, but
yeah.
do you have kind of real concrete goals that you're going towards?
I mean,
or?
No. I mean, I don't know. I feel like I just want to be happy. And do what I love, which
yeah.
is what I've been doing, and
good
find
goals.
Happiness through it. Because I feel like a lot of times in this industry, it's very easy to lose the happiness part.
Yeah.
Because it's very stressful, and you get your ego bruised a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, you are the product. So
yeah.
there's a lot of rejection, a lot of like, am I good enough? How come they're doing that, and I'm not doing
yeah.
that? And why is that person mean to me? And how come they didn't call me back? It's like, it could kill you if you let it.
Yes.
And so I have been trying to, like, have you ever seen the movie Soul, the Pixar movie Soul?
Yes.
So, you know that part, and I'm going to butcher the lines, but there's the part where he comes back into his body, the lead character,
yeah.
and he's playing that show with sort of this iconic jazz musician that he's a fan of.
Mm-hmm.
And so they do the show, he makes it, they do the show, he kills it, and afterwards they're outside of the theater, and I think he says to the lead musician, like, okay, when are we doing the big show? When are we doing the next big show? And she looks at him and she goes, like, babe, that was the show.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, that was it? Like, yeah. that was it? And they have this exchange where there's this metaphor about fish in the ocean, and I'm going to butcher it, but it's like, you know, there's a fish who really wants to see the ocean, so this other fish takes them to see the ocean. And they're like, no, this isn't the ocean. This is just water. And
yeah.
it's like, no, you're in the ocean.
Yeah.
This is it,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
So I feel like that's kind of where I want to go. I want to
yeah.
get to this place where I'm in the ocean and I'm happy and I'm experiencing
yep.
it and I'm present, as opposed to like, oh, if I get that series regular, oh, when I win that Emmy, or oh, when
yeah.
I sell my show that I'm, you know, just being present and happy and doing it.
It's
while I'm doing it.
It's hard to do.
It's very hard to do.
Because it's a very goal, especially, I mean, it's a goal-oriented world.
Yeah.
Thanks, capitalism. But it's also—
Men did that.
They sure did.
Men did that.
Yeah. Way to go, men.
Way to go, men.
Ugh, I'm going to cut my penis off.
You should be dead.
Yeah. why don't I just die?
Just fucking die.
No, but it's a very goal-oriented business,
yeah,
too.
Yeah.
And I kind of, like, to be frank, you know, sitting next to Conan O'Brien and seeing him at an early age achieve his dream,
mm-hmm.
you know, pretty much.
Yeah.
You know, because then there was eventually The Tonight Show, which, you know, he achieved that dream, too. But then, you know, shit gets in the way.
Mm-hmm.
But I saw him at an early age get to replace David Letterman, and then kind of felt like he was still there was still this kind of factory in him. And I mean, and I feel it in myself, like it's like a dissatisfaction factory.
Yeah.
And even when I got that job,
yeah,
I had these like it was a weird transition because, you know, like job, money, love, you right. know, like the three, the big three that you're like, you know, like always like, I got to do better. This has got to be better.
Right.
I got a job on TV on a really funny show.
It's huge.
Was making more money than I ever thought I would make.
Huge.
And I was in love and, you know, getting married, recently married. Everything was fine.
Right.
So, but the machine was still making this anxiety, this still go forward, keep going, it's not good, yeah. anxiety. And I found myself having these like crazy mortality
oh,
crisis
that was happening
things.
To me last year.
Yeah.
Yeah, last
where I'm
year
like, well,
I was
what's
like,
the point of it all? I'm going to be dead in 5 minutes.
Right.
You know, yeah. not, and 5 minutes could be 50 years, but still it's like, eh, what yeah. is, nothing means anything because I'm going to be dead in the yeah. ground, you know.
There's an anxiety that comes with, there's, yeah, it messes with your brain. And I started to become like wildly negative
yeah.
to the point where I was like, oh no, this is not good. Yeah, like yeah. I was very, very unhappy.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, why am I unhappy? This is crazy.
Yeah.
Because Caitlin 6 years ago would be beside herself with like, you know, what
now.
I've accomplished yeah. and what I'm doing and the kind of life I'm living and like, oh my, I'm here being like miserable. Why?
Yeah.
You know? And it's that it messes with your brain.
Yeah.
And so you just have to, or at least for me, I really want to like be present and enjoy myself
yeah.
and not like stress about, you know, because it's imposter syndrome, right? I feel like a lot of comedians and creatives, like they have imposter syndrome. So
oh,
the
absolutely.
Fact that you got your dream job and you're making all this money, all of a sudden it's like, well, I mean, the fact that I got in, it's a crock of shit. So,
yeah.
you know, nothing, everything's meaningless.
Yeah.
And it starts you know, to mess with you.
Groucho, I wouldn't join any club that would have me as a member.
Exactly.
It's that thing.
Yeah.
And I mean, and I still to this day, having been on, you know, done the work that I've done and on the shows that I've been on, I mean, whether with Conan or outside of working with Conan, and people say the most wonderful things, especially young people who are serious about comedy, who were the young, who were like me when I was a young person who was serious about comedy mm-hmm. and the shows and the people that were meaningful to me, getting to be that for people mm-hmm. is so profoundly meaningful and so wonderful. And I hear such wonderful things, yet there's still a voice in me that goes, well, what did you do but just kind of sit there and crack wise?
Right.
You're like, what the fuck? What you didn't do?
Yeah.
Like, what, where's
like
your
you
body
you
of work?
In. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, there's no paintings. There's no books. There's yeah. just you.
You're not
you know,
a genius.
Singing
you're a fucking
wise
loser.
Cracks. Yeah. Yeah.
yeah.
There's still that voice that, like, just kind of, you know, the auto shitting on my, you know, on myself voice.
Yeah.
And like you say, I still 57 years old, very, very happily newly wed with a new daughter and moved into a new house. And it's a touchy time. You know, I mean, we're in an old house that we're renovating and, you know, and there's lots to do and only so much we can afford. And I still at this age will be like, well, yeah, but I mean, once I get
right
something going, like mm-hmm. a regular gig where I can really, you know, like it'll
yeah.
start soon.
This
it'll
is the
start,
ocean.
It'll start soon. I'm like, no, this is
it.
I'm not waiting. It's not like when my life will start.
Yeah.
Any day now. It's like, no, it's going, you
it's
dummy.
It's happening
yeah.
right now. Yeah.
yeah.
So,
yeah.
yeah.
So
look at us.
Yeah, look at us. Well, and I think that's the third question, don't
yeah.
you? Yeah.
Is where am I going?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, no,
what have I learned?
Yeah,
what have I learned?
We kind of, you know, we kind of knocked those two out together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's my current journey.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, this has been really fun. Really a great conversation.
Thanks. Likewise.
And, I mean, I'm glad we had you in here because you're local.
I'm local.
It's always good
to
get
here anytime.
Locally sourced guests.
Locally sourced
yeah,
guests.
Yeah. If
organic.
Anybody falls through, it's just like, Caitlin, get over here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally.
Do you still live near here?
Yes, I live about 4 blocks away.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm a girl. I'm a
yeah,
local
yeah.
girl.
And so you stayed close to home.
Well, I've lived all over. I lived in Los Feliz. I lived in Glendale for 2 years. That was a dark time.
Mm.
Glendale sucks.
Sorry, Glendale.
Glendale is hell's asshole of LA County.
It's not so bad.
It's awful.
It's not
it's
so
awful.
Bad.
It's terrible. And then after that, I moved back. to this area.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks, everyone. And thank you, Caitlin. This is really fun.
Thank you, Andy.
And check out Caitlin. check her out. You know, if she's walking down the street, check her out.
Hey, I need the love.
If she's in her house and you're in the bushes, check her out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Why not?
Why not? And hey, check out Andy.
Yeah.
Check out Andy.
Thank you.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm going to check out Andy.
And I'm going to check out Caitlin.
Nice.
And I'm also going to check out Andy.
Thank you for listening. And I'll be back next week with more of the three questions. They're the same questions. The Three Questions with Andy Richter is a Team Coco production. It is produced by Sean Doherty and engineered by Rich Garcia. Additional engineering support by Eduardo Perez and Joanna Samuel. Executive produced by Nick Liao, Adam Sachs, and Jeff Ross. Talent booking by Paula Davis, Gina Batista, with assistance from Maddie Ogden. Research by Alyssa Grawl. Don't forget to rate and review and subscribe to The Three Questions with Andy Richter wherever you get your podcasts. And do you have a favorite question you always like to ask people? Let us know in the review section.
Can't you tell my love's growing? Can't you feel it ain't it showing? Oh, you must be a knowing. I've got a big, big love.
This has been a Team Coco production.
Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at a coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.